to, I almost said Commander Cast. Jesus.
Way to go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Off Color Cast, episode 34. We are an EDH-centered podcast. We are an EDH-centric podcast. We like to focus on the serious, the aggressive, and the awesome of EDH or Commander. I'm Chris, one of your hosts. I play EDH. Imagine that. I play Black Red, and I'm a butthole. I've got two guest hosts this week. The wonderful, as always, Cassidy Silver. Why don't you say hello?
Hey, what's up, everyone? Cassidy Silver here. You can check out the articles at tcgplayer.com in the Magic section. I'm Writer of Wrong on the Twitter. And as you can tell, Christian's obviously tired. I'm tired. So maybe Calvin will have to actually bring this one going.
Doesn't he usually carry the show?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, all right. And then we got our boy Calvin, a.k.a. C-Daddy, a.k.a. Calvin.
Also known as the Mutated Underdog.
Yeah.
Let's see. No, this really? Is Calvin, also known as Captain. Yeah, I don't know. I was, for some reason, I'll get to that in a minute.
All right.
This is Calvin, also known as Captain Red Zone around the internet. Now, let's see. This is episode 34. I'm not in the mood to do math. You break it down, I'm pretty sure it goes to like two episodes for like over a year per month or something. Yeah, I'm usually the aggressive part of the group. I'm also the guy who usually eats chicken because everybody knows that the captain is black. And back to the mutated underdog, I was getting into like an argument earlier with somebody and basically got down into like basically just doing like wrestling promos at each other.
This is what this is what you guys do with your spare time?
Is that on the Facebook thing?
It's on WCC in the groups.
Yeah.
And something happened. I basically just went off and I was like, you know who you're talking to. I'm Calvin R. Russell, the mutated underdog. And then I started talking about, I was basically getting ready to go into like a Scott Steiner math rip.
Scott Steiner.
Oh, shit.
All right. There, intro. That's it. Bam.
The one request I do have is that we play Calvin's Into the Red Zone music for the CCC section, because every time I listen to the podcast and that music comes up, I just laugh my ass off. It's so awesome.
It is.
It's the greatest part of our entire show every time is just Calvin's segment.
I'm pretty sure it's the best part.
One more quick side note before we go into that. I was getting into a huge argument over earlier over Superman. And I was somebody was at group that I'm a part of on Facebook, the House of Nerddom. Today we had this thing where it's supposed to be I wonder, and you basically post things that you wonder about various things or whatever the case may be. So I put it up. I wonder why Superman is called Superman, because technically he's not a human, so he's not really a man. And, you know, as far as I know, all Kryptonians come down here with kick-ass power, so he's not really super in comparison to the others. You know, just kind of like, you know, more experienced, but like, you know.
I already hate this argument.
Yeah, look, it's regular Kryptonian.
Yeah.
He's here to save us.
What did the other guy say? Did he say, suck my dick?
No, dog. They basically got down to us arguing about what the definition of what a man was.
Oh.
And well, then eventually got... And eventually it got to the point where I was like, okay, well, what about Martian Manhunter? Does he count as a man? And him and Superman pretty much fall into the same fucking category. Alien from another planet. Alien from another planet with superpowers that can look human. So what? He's a man? Is he considered a man now? Like, no, he's a Martian. So, okay, so if he's a Martian, then why the fuck does Superman get the privilege of not being called a Kryptonian? That's racist. Then it got down to a point where we was talking about like sentient life forms, and I was like, okay, well, if that's the case, then Optimus Prime is a fucking man because he's an alien from another life, from another fucking planet.
Now, Optimus Prime is the man, not a man.
Yeah, Optimus. Optimus Prime is the man.
I just, you know, feel like probably somebody else called him Superman at some point, and it just stuck.
Well, that's the thing. Like I was telling, like my view of it is that Superman is the name he has because I called him a tomato, and I told him it's like, you know, like how when you're a kid and someone shows you a tomato and your mind thinks it's a vegetable because you see it in salads and you see it with all the other vegetables in the vegetable section and stuff, and you start thinking tomatoes are vegetables, but then you find out it's a fruit. And then somewhere in your mind, even though you know it's a fruit and you know it's not a vegetable, you still kind of categorize it in the vegetable section. Because, you know, you don't expect to see it with the apples and the oranges and the bananas, because in your mind, it still belongs with the lettuce and the cucumbers.
I'm leaving all this in. Nobody's going to make it to the first segment.
Okay, if we're going to leave this part in, let me just say on the record that superhero comic books are gay. Hashtag MTG. Yeah.
Well, that's because you like to try to be one of those cool people.
No, it's because all my family loves Action 52. They talk about it all the time. Or not Action 52, just the Reboot 52? What is it called? Just 52.
I mean, we can talk about Action 52 if you want. That's like the best NES game ever.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. I used to rent it because it was so awesome. Fuck it. It's going to be all Action 52 music. Except for Calvin's thing, I guess.
Okay, thank you.
I'll have to remind myself. Yo, Action 52 is the best game.
No, it's not.
Yes. If you Space Shooter, Space Shooter, Space Shooter.
Yeah. Well, they made one for the Sega, and almost all of them were like puzzle games instead.
Well, that's because they had other people make it, and they looked at the game, and they're like, what the fuck? We're going to have to put real games in here.
Yeah, it's Angry Video Game Nerd.
That's actually a pretty good Angry Video Game Nerd video.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what I was just about to say. Yep.
All right, Action 52. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, there's actually there's the Cheetah Men Come On and Slam remix, too.
No.
There's nothing I like better than Space Jam remixes and Action 52.
Oh, God, I gotta find that now. Hold on.
Actually, the first Botchamania I ever watched had Action 52 music in it, and that was probably half the allure.
Really?
Yeah.
I can never recognize most of the music. I guess I just never really paid attention to it when I was a kid.
All right, people. Calvin, also known as Captain Redzone.
We going for you!
Swag.
Be back when we roll!
Into the Red Zone.
Swag. We going for you!
Swag.
Be back when we roll!
Into the Red Zone.
Okay, everybody, this is Calvin, also known as Captain Resident Ranger in it, and if you're going into this segment, you know what that means. It's time for another Into the Red Zone. This week, we're going to be doing Into the Red Zone, but it's not something that I've actually come up with. This is not like the Crave or the Seven Deadly Sins, and this is probably going to be the segment for this show, and don't expect it to expand out any further unless we choose to do so in the future. But I was looking for a topic for the show and couldn't come up with anything. So I just said, you know what? I'm just going to go trolling around some forums and find something of interest that might actually fit into a segment of mine. And I came across something over on, what was it, mtgcommander.net, the main commander site. It was a subject called the CCC Theory. And basically what the CCC Theory pretty much is it talks about how if you take Commander... basically, the CCC basically is if you take Commander and you broke it down into like the Chimmy, Johnny Spike kind of thing and actually tried to come up with something, you would end up with three categories of Commander players. There would be the casual player, the competitive player, and the cutthroat. Now, the casual player is usually the guy who ends up having like, you know, 3 hour long games and no one ever really seems to know exactly who wins until somebody drops like a really huge, like 18 mana costed spell, or someone happens to find a way to finish the game off with like a massive general. And then it's only one game. Everybody's been there and everybody's had fun and they've all gotten a chance to play their best cards and almost mill themselves. The competitive player would be someone like, say, Cassidy here, who happens to go to tournaments, who happens to play maybe 1v1 from now on again. And, you know, tries to keep his deck competitive to a point where he can actually be able to compete in various situations without having to worry about sitting down for, like, more than maybe an hour of play.
Yeah, that's
you. And then there's, an hour would be, like, the long game for the competitive player. It's like the, oh, God, for some reason, like, my Sensei's Divining Top is on the bottom of my deck, and there's no way I can filter this any more than I can to get this over quicker.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's the third category, which would be the cutthroat. And these are the people who they're playing a game of EDH that lasts roughly 30 minutes. The first 5 minutes is shuffling. The next 5 minutes is drawing and putting out a combo. 5 minutes after that, it's telling everybody how they killed them. 5 minutes after that is them figuring out exactly how they were murdered. And then, you know, kind of a quick group discussion and then reshuffling up to start the next game. And then maybe a quick bathroom break in between here and there. Now, each one of these categories have, like, their own, like, advantage, pros and cons, I'll say. But before I go too much further, let's see, Cass, Chris, do either one of you have anything you want to add into this particular discussion about the theory before I go into detail about either one?
Yeah,
like cons and pros on them.
I'm not sure that I even make it into the casual group.
No. I would definitely put you into the casual group after seeing some of the cards you play with. So.
No, I think the casual group is tougher than I am.
Oh, they don't, like, casual doesn't come much harder than Christian.
I ran a deck in a game yesterday. What was it? Oh, I was running Hunding, Jornerson, Voltron. And it didn't really do a lot. Oh, except I ended up equipping up all the shit to an Echo Mage. And I guess he was like a 14-8. That was my threat, was a 14-8 Echo Mage.
Hey, that's a threat, man.
Yeah, I guess. Except it took me like 15 turns to even get that far.
Wow, really?
I was playing against Gudongs and a few other guys, and I killed Gudongs turn 2. Because he was running the beta, and I had cast Oath of Lieges, and apparently Oath of Lieges breaks the beta.
Damn.
So I took him out pretty well, but aside from that, it was a pretty awful game where I just cast a few pieces of equipment and then cast a thing and it would die, and then I just did nothing.
Hmm. I think you'll fit into casual anyway.
Yes, I still would put you like. But you have to remember that's like a game versus you and like G Dugs. I would assume that would be like a. I would consider that to be more like a casual player in a competitive player / cutthroat player environment. Because, you know, like you are a casual player. And I actually came up with something I like to call the Christian Renault special.
Oh, God.
That is basically like you.
Is that suitable for family listening?
The Christian Renault special is basically a form of deck building. Well, you pick a random legendary creature. And then you find his colors, and then you make a mana base of just basic lands that happen to be on color for that mana base. And you start with 40 lands, and you end up with 59 other cards that have to go into this deck now. You divide those 59 cards up into whatever colors the general has. So if you have three color generals, like a green, white, blue, you get 100 green cards, 100 white cards, and 100 blue cards, and you mix them to get together and then just randomly pick 59 cards and put them in there. And then next thing you know, you've got a 100-card deck and you've got the Christian Renault special.
You know,
no one knows exactly what this deck is going to do, but damn it, it's going to be something Christian would approve of.
Yeah, I kind of like that, actually. What's worse is that when I'm doing my mana bases, I'll just do like 13, 13, 13 of my lands and not even look at what the casting costs are or something.
Yeah, see? Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. It's like you get like 40 cards. If it's a single, if it's like a red card, if it's like you had like a one red card, like a red general who's just, that's it, then like you got 40 mountains. You got a two color general, it's like what, 20 of one land or 20 of the other? Then it's like 13, 13, 13, and then like a command tower just to round that last 40 out.
Actually, I own 40, a command tower now.
Yeah, and then if you're like doing like a tag team and you got like a four color deck going on, you just pick two, like 10, 10, 10, 10, and then, you know, 8, 8, 8, and 8, and 8, 8, and
I mean,
8, and 8.
I run the Mirage Fetches too because they're so awesome, and they have names like
yeah,
that.
But you know, but you can get around to fixing the mana base later, but the Christian Minoa special is like, yeah. You don't know what you're going to do. You basically just bring a long box. Randomly pick cards that's going to actually be in that color and then just kind of see what happens from there. It'll work itself out.
Alright, what were you talking about?
So, Cass, how do you see yourself in these particular three categories? Like, do you have anything you want to say before I get too far into discussion of these guys?
Sure. When you mentioned Timmy Power Game, or Timmy and Spike and Johnny, like, that actually kind of fits with what we're talking about. Like, you could almost just put their names into each of these subcategories. So that's kind of cool. And then also the fact that it's, you know, C-cubed theory, which is like, we have a trademark on that bullshit. So this is actually OCC theory.
That's actually one of the reasons I actually kind of went with it, because I looked at the CCC and I was like, ah, sweet. And I was actually kind of hoping that it would have broke down into like Cassidy would have been like the competitive, Christian would have been the casual, and then like the third one would have been something I could have fell for. But I can't really see myself being the cutthroat. I mean, I would be the guy who would make the games go faster, but it's more because I'm attacking people. It's not like none of my games ever really get to the point where it's like a 30-minute game and everybody's dead. And if it's 30 minutes, it's because nobody's done anything and I have like my creatures out just going sideways. But in that case, it's more like this is a game that shouldn't have happened in the first place, as opposed to like, you know, you should have mulliganed.
Well, you know, at least there's STP. He'll be the try-hard combo player.
Oh, yeah.
Because, are you guys going to put another one of those on the
end? Yeah, we're actually recording again tomorrow.
So I guess that would... Well, I guess if we do break it down, I guess I would have to be, like, the closest thing to a cutthroat player in this group, mainly because of the fact that I always attack. And I'm usually the reason why people are dying. Even though I might not be doing the murdering except myself, it's more of he's the one who got my life points to 10. And then, you know, this guy basically fireballed me out. So I could see that.
Right.
But, but basically the main premise for like the two things, like for these categories is like, if you look at it, like the competitive is basically cast, the guy who is going to, you know, have a deck that kind of works singleton wise, could kind of work multiplayer wise, has a mana curve that fits into both formats because, you know, he doesn't really know when he's going to be playing, where he's going to be playing, and who he's going to be playing, like Yu-Gi-Oh. Just kind of randomly roaming the streets.
Yeah, you would know about Yu-Gi-Oh, wouldn't you?
Better.
I would never play Yu-Gi-Oh if that's what you were saying.
No, I'm not talking about you would play Yu-Gi-Oh. I'm like, cause, like on the show, they have this thing where people just randomly walk around the street, like, hey, that's my soda. Like, no, actually, it's my soda. Be like, oh, you want to fight? And then they pull their decks out and basically just start dueling for some fucking reason. It's like over a fucking can of soda. It's like, really? Like, this is the hardest thing you could possibly do?
That sounds terrible. Like,
Yeah, the show is garbage. But I swear it was interesting at one point. But that point has been gone. Oh, God.
Long gone, yeah.
You know, like, the show has actually gone down the hill when, like, the main character... his name is still it's like the show is named Yu-Gi-Oh, but Yugi is not there anymore, period. It's like, that's like if Dragon Ball Z was, it's like having a show called like Batman Returns, but it's like all like Batman sidekick, and it's like not a single Bruce Wayne in sight. You don't even see him like texting or owning a shop in the area. You don't see him training. Like, he just is not there.
So I think it is worth mentioning that all three of these groups work the best when everyone at the table plays the same way. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, people would like to, you know, rag on tryhards or the people that want to win in, you know, turn three. But if it's an entire table of people wanting to win on turn three, I mean, who cares?
Yeah, it sounds pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, those are games that I would probably actually watch. Also, aren't EDH stories, like, the worst, like, 95% of the time?
Yeah, I mean, they're just hard to remember, all those card interactions going on.
Well, that, and, like, it's like, I don't care, man. If you're not there, it's not worth hearing about.
Oh, yeah.
Almost 95% of the time. And I know we all fall into the trap where we want to talk about something, but I at least try to make it sound stupid. But that's the biggest problem with, you know, something, well, with telling stories like that, I think, what am I doing? What did I do to this topic? I just killed it. But, like, you might see a cool interaction for the first time, but if it's not somebody else's first time hearing about it, they just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, mm-hmm. All right. That's great.
That's the story of my articles right there. Like, I came up with that last week, thank you.
But, what you're kind of describing this, like, one of the things that a casual player would probably consider as a, you know, as a pro. Hold on a second. But basically what Christian's kind of describing, it would probably be something that a casual player would probably consider to be like a pro, because, you know, it's more like that you're kind of sitting around, you're getting a chance to get to know people, get to know combos, see things you haven't seen before, you know. And, you know, you're kind of like, you know, just sitting there telling random stories and getting to, like, you know, spending time with your bros, hanging out, being friends. And let's be honest, and I'm not going to say that. Well, but the thing about like these three particular groups are is that, you know, they kind of mix together in a way, but they don't. Casual players, competitive players, and cutthroat players can all kind of play at the same table, but they have to have the understanding that everybody is basically out to ruin the other person's fun in a particular way or not. The casual player wants the game to go on. The cutthroat player is like, no, I don't want the game to go on. I want this over so I can play the next game. And the competitive player is sitting there like, well, I don't really care whichever one of you is actually trying to make a decision here. All I know is that while you're bickering, I'm going to kill you both.
I think the biggest thing there is just to realize, is really just to expand. I mean, Magic's a huge game. Maybe you don't like the competitive or cutthroat people, but maybe you bring a deck like that and just start playing it just to, I mean, if you've never played that way, or you might be missing out and not even know it.
Well, the good thing for it is like you can always have a variety of different decks. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, casual players can have like eight decks that are all designed just to be like the first card that drops that isn't a ramp spell is something at eight mana. And even that is like just another gigantic artifact designed to pump out some form of mana. But, you know, like you can always play various decks. I mean, even though I do happen to have a tendency to play more aggressively, even with my more aggressive decks, I have a tendency to actually still have a group of various things that are slower. So that we, even when I'm playing out with casual players or more competitive players, I can kind of go with the flow of what the night has in store. Because no one wants to be the guy who shows up with only like one deck, has no idea what's going to happen, and then you find out you're the casual player at the cutthroat table, and now you're basically losing every other game, and you're not having any fun, so you kind of would have been better off not even coming. I said coming.
You know, the one thing that I wanted to bring up real quick also is, this is posted by a dude named Kalen or whatever.
We'll link it. Well, when I say we, Calvin will link it in the show notes.
Calvin will link it.
He actually
kind of put like a few qualifiers almost on each type. So like when he says casual game, it's like 25 turns to win, Krosis, Dromar, Intet, Oros, Numat as the casual commanders, even though that's not very creative picking. Like,
just Elder Dragons?
Yeah. Here, there's a bunch of terrible cards. And then, you know, he kind of lists, like, Mindslaver, Stasis, Hatred as not casual. And then 10 to 15 turns for competitive. And I think, like, a little bit of competitive bleeds into cutthroat and vice versa. But then, you know, estimated turn to win is 5 to 7 in cutthroat. So, like, just for those listening, like, that's kind of, like, he put qualitative to it as well. Quantitative as well as qualitative. So, like, it kind of gives you an idea of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, and I definitely say, you know, if you guys have a second, definitely give it a quick glance over, read it, see where you fall in. Read about the other two as well to see what they're thinking, and it might just expand your horizon a little bit. But if you have any other questions or want to tell us where you fit in, why don't you email the show at offcolorcast@gmail.com.
Week we're going for an Audacity again into the cast zone, and we're actually going to talk about the spirit of EDH, which as Christian just mentioned before we started this part, it goes pretty well with the last segment we were just talking about. This is actually spurred by something that we talked about on I think last week's episode.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, so, and like Christian was talking about how he had Relentless Rats dot deck, and people were bitching about how it's not in the spirit of the format. Probably because you can have a bunch of them in the same deck, right?
Yeah. And I mean, bitching's probably a strong word. But, you know, it was mentioned a couple of times.
Well, I mean, if someone online is going to take the time to be like, dissing at your deck, like, that's enough. That's enough for me to be like, shut the fuck up. I mean, if this is something that gets talked about on a Commander Cast in the past, I don't think they've really done anything about it recently, mostly because I think a lot of the the people who like talking about this kind of boring shit have, like, stopped going on the show as much, you know? You know? Yeah, there's a whole new generation of Commander Cast people on there, and most of them are us ruining it for everyone else, right?
I don't know what you're talking about. I wasn't on there last season, I don't think.
Yeah, you were.
I know you.
Yeah, with us, maybe. That doesn't really count. The token off color cast episode doesn't count for being on Commander Cast.
Yeah, fair enough. So basically, like, when it comes to the spirit of EDH, I think it's kind of changed in the recent years. I'm not even sure it actually exists, because it seems like one of those douchey kind of hippie concepts that, like, everyone wants to believe in, like karma and stuff, but it's just not real. You know what I mean? So, so I think that's my take on it right now, is that I think that people, when they complain about something not being in the spirit of EDH, what they're really saying is that it's not falling into their casual, competitive, or cutthroat idea of the game, you know? And usually it's mostly, I mean, the cutthroat player is not going to complain about it because his deck's made to beat the shit out of everyone else. So it's always the people that are, like, playing against combo decks that are like, that's not in the spirit of the game. So I'm guessing that, I mean, well, Christian, you know, you've called me what's wrong with the game before, the spirit of the game, right? What's wrong with the format. So why don't you talk about what you think about the spirit of EDH?
I call a lot of things what's wrong with the format.
Right. Everything is
what's wrong. Everything what's wrong with the format. I don't know. I think that might have been a term that was necessary at one point in the game, but now that it's so ubiquitous, I think it's more of a shackle for anyone still using it, really. Because there's no spirit. It's just, you know, dudes playing cards. I mean, I'm sure the Sheldons of the world and whatnot with their sweet arm tattoos probably still, you know, tout that phrase, but I think it's outlived its usefulness, if it even ever had usefulness. It was more of a thing that people said to bring exclusivity to the format that wasn't really necessary.
Yeah, I totally agree, and that's, like, that's something I've never been a fan of, is it's, yeah, like, it's almost like just kind of a douchey thing, like, to say it and then put it on other people, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Everyone has their different idea of what is good and what isn't, and the spirit of the format was definitely trying to say that, like, the Battlecruiser Magic was, like, empirically better. I don't really agree with that. Well, what about you, Calvin?
Well, as far as my opinion about the spirit, quote-unquote, of EDH is, like, I kind of see where they were going with the concept, because, you know, I have to remember, like, when the concept of this format started off, it was more just like a nice way to say, this is how we created the format, and this is the best way we can kind of tell you how it's, if you want to enjoy it the way they played it, then you go by what the quote unquote spirit is. But in the same token, like, this format has actually grown so much over the last few years, and honestly, that's just really, there's no real way you can honestly put, like, a name to what this format's done. I mean, you can't really go with the spirit, because what the spirit of EDH was is no longer what it actually is. I mean, basketball was probably a really great casual game to use just for sports and exercising and, you know, just to have fun with your friends out on the court when you had the weekend off. But if you look at the advanced version of it now, there's, like, no way. There's no way for it to actually, like, compare to, like you know, like professional basketball or even, like Olympic versions of it and stuff like that. If you actually have, like overseas versus, like, areas and things like that. Like, there's too many options and variations for this format to be considered one thing anymore.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, I agree. And so do you think that is more of, like, a product of the game becoming more accessible and more different people are playing it? Or is it more just because cards are getting better and it's getting harder and harder to make decks that aren't just going to be good anyways? Like, Consecrated Sphinx definitely has come out more recently, you know. It's kind of a, like, I put it in my deck and win. And, like, you know, Christian's talked about it in the past. You know, you purposely don't play staple cards and stuff. But, like, you're definitely in the minority there because, you know,
yeah,
everyone has to have, like, a few staples and stuff just because that's what it is, you know. So do you guys think it's more of that, like, just the cards are better and that's why the spirit's gone, or is it just because there's more people playing?
precons, brought in more people, warped the format, killed it.
With Chris
basically just on, vintage,
basically withdrawn out.
Vintage played by standard players. That's what command. That's what EDH is now.
Yeah, I could. Actually, that's exactly where I was going to go with that, because pretty much it's like if you look at like vintage or legacy. I mean, I'm pretty sure when those formats were created, they were more designed to be like, you know, oh well, here's something for the casual player to kind of do, so they don't accidentally have to worry about their collection sucking. You know.
Yeah, type it's one like, was exactly like that. Yeah.
It's like, so, like, you know, we're going to create this awesome format so people can actually have something to do with your cards after they rotate out of standard or extended or whatever random, like, format Wizard wants to promote. But then, like, you know, over enough time, enough cards flow into that format and enough players flow into that format where it actually becomes like the competitive top level, you know, people pulling out their best cards from whatever era of Magic that they've been collecting from or were able to purchase cards for. And next thing you know, you've got like a tournament variation of this format designed just for casual players to casually play with their cards. So they wouldn't have to worry about like, you know, their cards losing value. And all it's done is increased the value. I wouldn't blame it really like on the cards being printed for the format, because, you know, cards are going to get printed, and even if the cards weren't printed for the format, there's going to come a time where someone's going to print something and it's going to happen to accidentally work with this format. There's plenty of times when things come up and they happen to be good in Legacy. I mean, you don't really expect them to, but you know what, hey, I'm pretty sure Wizards of the Coast wasn't really expecting for Jace the Mind Sculptor to do what it did. But, you know, in the same token, hey, that's where it went. It went through all the formats, all the way up to Legacy, and now it's basically only really legal there and in Commander. And technically Vintage.
They should have known with Jace, though. They gave him 4 abilities. That guy's fucking retarded. I mean...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, they... Yeah, but in the same token, they should have known how broken that card was. To allow it to be printed in Standard and then go through Standard, Extended, Modern, and then basically get banned in all formats except for Limited... Limited, Commander, and Legacy and Vintage were basically the only places where it wasn't banned.
Could you imagine drafting him and him being banned? Like, that would suck so bad.
Yeah. So, one thing I wanted to make mention of is, as maybe even 2 years ago, maybe even a year ago, do you remember the guy who would, you know, announce to everyone, I just don't get Commander, guys? And, you know, they talk about how, you know, everyone had their own definition of the word fun and how whenever they tried to win, it was always bad. And the people who would argue with the guy were just as bad, you know, parroting terms like social contract and spirit of EDH. Sure. The people who didn't get the game are now the ones playing it with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's right. Really what's happened is it's gotten more serious in a lot of different play groups. I mean, just from what I've seen anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, also...
And with that added seriousness, you can't really go with the original definition of what the spirit of this format is, because the format's kind of grown past what it originally was. You know, it's kind of like expecting something to stay permanently in the same state. I mean, this format's not like a glass porcelain doll. It's kind of like its own personal living, breathing organism. Organism. Orgasm.
It's all living, breathing orgasm. That would be funny. I would also say that I think that a lot of the people like that had specific specifications about what they thought Commander should be, they seem to like go on to other formats. You know what I mean? Whereas like other people that just want to play EDH and are fine with playing any kind of game of EDH, I think they'll probably just, I mean, that's kind of like me. Like, I'd rather play EDH over anything, so I'll have a bunch of different kind of decks. We kind of talked about it in the last section, so, like, and I don't play Type 4. If someone's like, let's draft a cube, I'll be like, fuck that. I don't write about cube. I don't give a shit about cube.
So it's got to be something you write about for it to be worth your time?
It's not that it's a worth my time segment. It's just I don't have any fucking time anymore, so, yeah basically.
I just like playing Magic, but, you know, EDH is probably still my favorite way to play Magic. Though I'll admit, 100-card Singleton has been...
Hundred-card
Singleton has been catching my eye lately, where I could play Hermit Druid and not feel bad.
Oh, and is that what, there wouldn't be any, like, color identity issues?
So no, it's just, you know, it's a 100-card deck with just one of each copy. It's one-on-one, and it's 20 life. So, you actually need aggro, but Hermit Druid still works.
Well, yeah, it's, like, awesome.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know, it's a fun game. The biggest thing to probably walk into this with any of this is, anytime you're about to get into an argument about anything to do with Magic, you just have to take a step back and remember, this is about playing a game. I'm arguing about a game that's pieces of cardboard with words and pictures on it.
Yeah.
And
pretty pictures.
It's not worth getting irate over. It's a game we all like, but sometimes it's just worth it to calm down. Remember that the other guy has a point too, and you're probably not going to convince each other of anything. And just to go on and have fun.
Yeah, and I think that'll play into what I think we're going to do for the next Audacity, and that's going to be that people take Magic too fucking seriously.
Yeah.
So we'll end on that note. I think it was a pretty good conversation considering that the first segment was like pretty winding and aimless. So
yeah, so we're doing okay. Maybe this next one will be so tight it'll be like a virgin butthole.
Mm-hmm. And Superman's a plant.
Oh, that reminds me, actually, real quick. I'm not going to be able to do next week because next Tuesday is my anniversary.
Oh, I see.
That's right.
Okay. I see. I don't think you're taking Magic fucking seriously enough.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. We got our explicit tag back on iTunes. I'm happy.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
And SFW, is that what it is?
Well, it just said, in red letters, it says explicit next to our show.
Oh, yeah. That was something I wanted to bring up, too, was the Bruce Richard article, where he basically calls us South Park.
Well, he says we're like the crazy younger brother of Commander Cast.
And even though we're less polished and crass, we always have fun. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much the story of our show.
I thought it was a pretty good point. Though the card they ended up using for us was Equipoise, which is an awesome card.
What?
There he has, like, cards, like, to denote some of the shows. Like, Commander Cast has Giant Shark, and we have Equipoise.
Oh, yeah. How do you spell that?
Equipoise?
That's the balance that phases instead of destroying them, remember?
Yeah, we did it for a stupid card thing, and we both thumbs down it, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Now I remember.
He just needed to add in a little bit more. We did that on purpose. Like we chose deliberately to be the podcast that is crass and insane. Cause
I mean, I don't feel like we force it.
No, I mean, it turned out to be really easy for us to do, but I mean, that was a conscious decision.
Yeah. We're all assholes.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't care.
It's pretty easy.
Pretty easy.
All right. So we're going to talk about stuff we hate again, but we're not just going to hate rate because we'll do that some other time when we can't think of anything to do. But it's not enough to just hate something for me. I like to drill down a little bit and find out why it is that we really hate it. So I asked my bros here to come up with one card that they despise and then how they would change it to be less, you know, hate worthy, but still, you know, kind of worth playing. And so I'm going to let you guys start because I don't know. I don't know if I even have a card yet.
I have a few.
Yeah, I hate so many.
Yeah, I'm going to actually just go with an overall. It's like the same thing. It's basically Time Warp, Time Walk. I hate those cards. Like, I don't mind like a Time Warp to win the game, but like, how many times is someone like just going to e-wit off of a fucking... Yeah, you went like West Side Style instead of Eternal Witness, right? Off a Mimic Vat and then just cast fucking Time Warp every fucking turn until they have something to do and like not actually win the game for a while. I really think that it's what's the new one? Temporal Mastery. It exiles itself when it resolves, and I really think that they should have that. Probably the biggest weird One is Walk the Eons, which has buyback. So like that one should be exiled. that's what I'm gonna go with first, though. I just hate the time walk, and I know that there's house rules even to exile time warp effects when they resolve and regrow effects and stuff just to stop it. And I kind of like that idea. I wish they would just go back and like retcon every single one of them to be like, exile this shit, stop doing it.
Well, and a lot of them, like time stretch, they put such a prohibitive mana cost on it that at the time they were probably like, man, nobody's really going to be able to cast this thing and win the game.
Yeah.
But people will still love it. And then we get to the format where mana is, I mean, we're practically playing type 4 half the time with the amount of mana we have. To where it's not even an issue. And it's like, whoops.
Might as well just like skip the whole like play lands from your hand and just be like, like your deck is just like whatever the amount of cards are, there's no lands, and you just basically like you're allowed to play this many creature spells from your hands each turn.
I would be fine running no lands in your deck, but you could play a card face down as a Utopia.
Isn't that doesn't the World of Warcraft card game do that?
I don't know, does it?
I think you can use some of the cards as resources. That game was actually sort of fun, despite my fact that I hate World of Warcraft and everything it stands for.
But I think sometimes that might feel better than even caring about lands, because you're almost making a choice then on, do I want to play this spell or do I want to play it as a land?
Yeah.
I could definitely see, having the time warp spells exile themselves. But that almost, the thing you brought up, I think I hate Ewit and Mimic Vat way more than I do any of this, any of the take extra turn spells in the game. Well,
there you go.
I think they're the root. I mean, to me, those are the root cause.
But that's the combination that is destroying this format as we know it today, right?
I mean, there's so many things destroying this format. I don't know what to do. Calvin, how about you bring us one?
Let's see. If I'm just going to go with something that I find, am I supposed to just pick something I don't like, or just something that I just find weird?
Either one.
Yeah, whatever.
Preferably something you do hate, though.
We're all loosey-goosey on this show.
Let's see. What do I hate? You know what, actually? There's a card here that I kind of don't really like. And it's Adaptive Automaton. Mainly because I understand that there should be like a quote-unquote lord-like creature for all the various creature types out there. And, you know, I understand why they might not want to just go ahead and just make, like, random squirrel lower just so they can actually be able to fill that void. But the Adaptive Automaton I don't really like because of the fact that it actually kind of fills in for an extra lord figure for other things that already have them, like elves and goblins and random group that has, like, six other lords already now has seven. And it's colorless. And that's the other thing that kind of gets to me, because since it's colorless and it goes into, like, all decks, it's like no matter what lord you have, you always have something that kind of fits in there. But it just seems kind of weird to have this robot turn into, like, a slug or turn into, like, a mongoose. And the other thing I never really liked about it was the fact that it had creature, like, the creature types that you kind of want to turn into, they don't really have enough of that copy of that type of creature. So, and with the previous Eroded, all a bunch of them all got kind of grouped together. So it's like, you might not even have, like, the amount of mongoose you had before, because, like, six of them got turned into beast.
Really? Mongooses got turned into beast? That would suck.
No, I'm just saying, like, as, like, an example.
Right.
I'm not mad at myself, though.
So, I'm sorry, I kind of phased out there. Did you fix it yet?
No, but if I was going to, like, say, fix the Adaptive Automaton, I don't know. I don't even know what I would actually do to fix this thing. I'd probably take away the fact that, like, it affects creatures of a chosen type. Probably, like, you know, trying to find something to, like, give, like, I don't know.
Is it more like Bronze Herald is what you're talking about? Bronze Herald, where, like, oh, I guess actually Bronze Herald is a lord too, whatever. Brass Herald.
The thing is, like, Brass Herald, actually, I like that better than this one, though, because it's more like it has, like, another function outside of just being, like, a +1/+1, you know? Like with Brass Herald, you drop that, you get to like, you know, kind of dig a little into your deck. And, you know, you're looking for cards of that type. And, you know, yeah, you get the, like, the extra bonus. But with Adaptive Automaton, all it basically is a Lord. It just drops down and gives your creatures +1/+1. It's basically an Anthem effect for all colors.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really do anything. And the only thing I could think of, like, if I was going to fix it, I actually would probably want it to probably be more like the Brass Herald, where, like, you play it or it enters the battlefield or it has, like, some type of activated ability to let you, like, dig or something to kind of, like, give it a function. But it doesn't really, because it doesn't really do anything. That's the main thing that kind of gets to me about it. Is, like, you're giving, like, an Anthem effect to your Mongoose when technically you could just play, like, a green Anthem effect and had the same fucking effect. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, never been a big fan of that card.
So, what about a card like Mirror Entity, which is so heinous that it's like the best tribal card in any tribal deck? What do we think of Mirror Entity? I fucking hate Mirror Entity.
It's okay.
Because he can like do the whole shapeshift thing, and like falls into the same category, kind of like the Adaptive Automaton. But the only thing about the Mirror Entity though is that with him he has the where you could kind of pay X and creatures you control could get it bigger. So you could turn your you could ignore the whole creature thing. Kind of just like turn your token army into like a massive like overrun kind of effect if you got the mana for it. Mm-hmm. But you know, so in a way, I kind of understand why you would play Mirror Entity. But the Adaptive Automaton, all he does is just the +1/+1, and that's it. Like Mirror Entity, it's like it's a creature that has like a built-in overrun for your creatures. So it's like, yeah, he's a lord, but in a way he's also like a lord with a bonus. He's got purpose. He's got a reason to be there.
I mean, but he also is better than almost every other tribal card.
But, I mean, just look at the art. I mean, he's an alien, and if you look at the one on the far right, that guy's got fire butt going on all over the place.
Fire butt?
Yeah, dude, that's totally his ass on the right. I just realized that now.
What about the people who run about the same number of changelings as they do a tribe in their tribal deck?
Or like clones and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's not
changelings and clones, and then like two creatures of the actual tribe you want, and then, oh, look at my octopus deck. good job, fucker. Yeah,
I'm going to copy Stormtide Leviathan 7 times. It's going to be awesome.
Okay, so I'm going to take one. And this isn't one, I mean, I don't know what I would do with Mimic Vat. So I'm going to take another offender that's kind of like it. Mm-hmm.
Rip it in half like it was a giant warthog. Yeah.
A lot of other people hate this card way more than me, and I could probably see a banning at some point. But that is Deadeye Navigator.
Oh, God.
And I think the easiest thing you just do is put the Deadeye Navigator bounces as well when you do the you blink the creature, but Deadeye Navigator returns to your hand.
Yeah, I mean that still would be. He'd be fucking terrible at that point. Maybe if he was smaller and lower casting cost. But yeah, Deadeye Navigator is like really, 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 really broken. Like, Mimic Vat is nothing compared to Deadeye Navigator. I was thinking Mimic Vat, if you sacrifice the Mimic Vat, it would still probably be, like, feasible. You know what I mean? Like, sacrifice the Mimic Vat, make the token, keep it, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah. There's a few things about Mimic Vat that just, I mean, one, it exiles, so that's, you know, that's a pain in the ass. Like, you know, I mean, it's nice when you're doing it to something that's a big, big problem, but it just means the other guy gets to keep casting the problem every turn anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how I would fix them. Most of the good imprint cards, I don't know how you would fix any of them.
Yeah. I like Isochron Scepter a lot.
The Kron is awesome. Yeah. The Kron doesn't feel too bad because you have to have it in your hand, you're paying the mana anyway, and you're tapping it.
Mm-hmm. It's just a little artifact.
Just a little dude. So you got another one, I think, don't I you, Cassidy, at least? Oh, you have more Deadeye Navigator stuff?
I think I figured I would fix Deadeye Navigator. So the way you fix it, you make it red.
Yeah, maybe.
Make it red.
It is broken with Palancron, so, I mean, it's a two-card combo with Palancron, so...
Yeah, but see, if you made it red and you put Palancron in, then you'd actually have to play blue and red.
Yeah. Well, then you just have another fucking Infa combo in blue-red, and who wants some more Niv-Mizzet curiosity bullshit? I don't.
Yeah, but, you know, you already have that problem in blue and red, but the thing is, like, if you're going with blue and red, you're going to use Niv-Mizzet as your general, everybody already at the table should know you're a douche. it's almost like showing up with Juror. Like, you know, just you just look at you and be like, oh no, just smash him and get him out of here. Even the casual players who are trying to do 3-hour games are going to turn that one into a 15-minute like wham bam thank you ma'am,
just like a 15-minute gang rape basically.
Yeah.
Hold down and then visit, like, squeal like a pig.
Like, come here boy. Yeah. You got a real pretty mouth.
So I know you got a couple more, Cassidy, so why don't you give us another one?
Okay, other cards that I hate. I'm just gonna go with, like, Maelstrom Wanderer, because that guy's been beating the living fuck out of me lately. Like, that guy's just unbelievable. I think the haste is pretty much what I think should go away. I think if the Maelstrom Wanderer did not get all the creatures haste, mm-hmm. I would have at least like have like a lot less losses from infinite Palancron combos that just get cascaded into, you know. So like that happens a lot where like something big hits the board and you're like, oh no big deal, I have another. Oh wait, everything has haste. Fuck this fucking Maelstrom Wanderer bullshit. So yeah, I don't know. Have you guys played against Wanderer at all? Because
he's
so busted. He's so hard to
play. He's pretty busted. What's funny is that in a game the other day, somebody had Maelstrom Wanderer and a different guy cast Psychic Battle, which essentially meant the guy with the Maelstrom Wanderer deck picked every target.
Oh my god!
Because the Maelstrom Wanderer dude always had the highest casting cost card on top.
Okay, I got to read Psychic Battle. I haven't seen this card in a really long time.
3BB for an enchantment from Invasion. Whenever a player chooses one or more targets, each player reveals the top card of his or her library. The player who reveals the card with the highest converted mana cost may change the target or targets.
Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah, so...
Okay.
Dude dropped that, and then the guy who had Maelstrom Wanderer was, of course, always having these big-ass dudes all through the... Or just, you know, big-ass spells all through his deck, so he was always picking the targets for everything.
Jesus. So who is that dude next to Urza on that picture that's, like, taking a dump with the fifth staff? Is that Baron or something?
I would think, maybe...
I can't remember what they look like, but he looks like he's about to punch him and take a dump at the same time.
Yeah,
punch dump.
So a quick question here, guys. Like, since Maelstrom Wanderer is kind of like getting to you, like, how do you feel about Animar?
Animar's kind of annoying if I'm playing black or white or like only black white, but Animar is way more interactive and way more fun. He's aggressive. Maelstrom Wanderer is really, it's just like you have to get some sort of defenses online before he starts hitting play a million times. And like, he's the one general that's 7/5 that you don't want to kill. So it's like, it's just the most annoying situation ever. Like, if you kill him, your opponent's just like, cool, I get to cast him again. And you're like, I guess I got chump block him all day. Oh, wait, it's green red, so you just got Kessig Wolfrun. That was fun.
Well, I personally have a Maelstrom Wanderer deck that I do currently play around with on occasion.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't really have like the big beefy like 6/7 drop creatures that he could cascade into. It's mostly just a bunch of like, I don't even remember how I built it. I just know it had like a bunch of things where I could kind of like just draw through and filter through my deck.
Yeah, like Preordain and stuff. Do you run those cards?
Yeah. It was like Preordains and like Warp World and various things that just kind of like, yeah, basically just cascade spells and all this. Like, all it was just a cascade deck that basically feeds into like itself. So I can get stuff on the board for free.
Talk about cards like, that should fucking exile themselves. How about fucking Warp like, World?
That's an 8-drop though. You can't cascade into that.
No, but I wouldn't cascade into it. It's hard casted. It's I'd play Maelstrom Wanderer, and then just like if it got to a point where I, like, say I give Maelstrom Wanderer out, and for some reason like it's him and a bunch of like lands, and I've got nothing else really to do. This hard like next turn, just hard cast the Warp Whirl, and just kind of restart everything over. And then eventually he would just kind of. Eventually, like, I would hit into other cascade spells, I would fall into other stuff, and then the deck would kind of, like, trickle through itself, and, like, something would be on the bottom, and then it'd shuffle my graveyard back into my library, and then just kind of, like, cascade on some of that stuff.
Yeah, I definitely did use Warp World in my Rug deck, my Rico deck, so I know what you're talking about.
Warp World should exile itself after resolution.
Yeah, it should, it really should.
Because when the guy casts the second Warp World... Then it's like, all right, seriously?
Yeah. You know how many times I've had someone cast, or my brother plays Maelstrom Wanderer, he'll cast Brainstorm and then put, like, Temporal Mastery from his hand on top of his library, and I'm just like, fuck this guy.
Okay, Calvin, do you have another one for us? I'm not counting Warp World as mine.
Okay.
Yeah, you can hold on to Warp World. Not really. I really don't have another one, but I do kind of want to point out something I found really, really kind of fucked up and, like, interesting and fucked up in Wizards Past. There's two enchantments, and there's a Jarrah's Battlecry. It's a white enchantment, costs one white. It's two colorless and a white creatures you control get +1/+1 until end of turn. And then, like, I read this card, and, like, granted, I understand Battlecry didn't exist back then, but damn it, it should be +1/+0. But then I looked around, and I found Getchu Warcry, which is 2 and a red enchantment, and it has pay 1 red target creature gets +1/+0 until end of turn. So the card that has Warcry has the Battlecry ability, but the card that has Battlecry does not have the Battlecry ability.
Dude, and I forgot all about Warcry.
Awesome. Yeah, so if I had a choice in this matter, I'd just kind of like just do like a quick like name swap.
Getchu Warcry is really awesome with Horobi Death Swale, like many other things.
Oh, God. Horobi's the one that kills you when you get targeted, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's awesome.
So... To finish this up, let's, because I thought of one, and then I thought, well, you know what? Let's just talk about all things that we think would be fixed if it just had a tap in it. Like Rings of Bright Hearth.
There's a lot of enchantments that should have that. Like Sneak Attack and, Survival of the Fittest. Like, there's not, I think pretty much the only enchantment that actually taps and to do something is that one, Freed from the Real, right? Is that the one where you can tap the enchantment to untap a creature, right?
There's a few like that.
Oh, really?
I know because I run them, like Pemenzora. Oh, wait, no, well, Pemenzora doesn't tap it, does it?
No, it's not.
Second Wind taps the enchantment.
Second Wind, that's what I was talking about. Yeah, that's the one. So, I mean, like, I think there should be more. I think that should be added to basically all the broken-ass enchantments that, like, piss everyone off, like Survival of the Fittest. If you could just tap, like, if that was just basically a, like a Fauna Shaman without Summoning Sickness, it would still be a fucking awesome card, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same thing with Sneak Attack, like, I'm glad that Sneak Attack, I don't see that nearly as often as Survival, because that card is so frustrating to play against when, like, you're not ready to, because you're just like, well, you paid a red to drop Craterhoof Behemoth, are you fucking kidding me? Like, what is this shit? Then you're dropping, Primeval Titan all on one red, and who cares if they die at the end of turn? You just attack me for, like, 4 billion, you know?
So, Cass, how would you guys feel about, like, you know, those cards getting the Howling Mind treatment, where it has that line where if this card is tapped, the it gets its ability, but only if this card is untapped.
Oh, like, they used to call it, like, continuous or mono-auto effect?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, like, yeah. I can't remember, like, because I remember, like, when I think of this particular effect, the only card that ever pops in my mind is Howling Mind, because it's that at the beginning of each player's draw step, if this card is untapped, that player draws an additional card, which pretty much, like, says, like, if this card is tapped, it loses all abilities or effects or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, for the enchantments, they'd still have to have, like, a tap ability in them, or else it's, like, you'd have to have, like... fucking Icy Manipulator to tap them or whatever, you know? So, I mean, that wouldn't really change those too much, but there's a lot of cool artifacts that if you tapped them down and they didn't work, that'd be sweet. Like, Like Cage Sun, if those kind of artifacts had if they get tapped, they don't work anymore. That would actually make artifacts more fun, in my opinion. But they're also super super fragile.
Would that fix whatchamacallit? Mimic that?
Well, Mimic Fat has to tap to activate. Yeah. So I mean that wouldn't do anything.
Yeah, but it would also be but one of those things where if you could figure out a way to keep it tapped, it wouldn't do anything. I mean, currently it doesn't. It does the same thing now, but it's more I don't know. I'm just trying to think of ways to kind of play around with trying to stop stuff.
Well, and maybe if the imprint thing only worked when it was on tap, that'd be interesting.
Maybe if the imprint only worked once.
Right. Yeah. That was obviously sacrificing.
But then after that, it just sits there on the table. It's just an artifact, so you can still be able to get your metalcraft going.
That might be the worst thing I think about it. I mean, I've talked about Mimic Vat a lot, but that might be the worst thing about it. If you had to make a choice, and then that's what you were stuck with on the Vat for the rest of the game,
right?
That might be better than, oh, look, something else died. Welp, time to upgrade here.
Right, that's kind of why the Isochron Scepter is a little bit more fair. Yeah, that's a good call. It'd be funny if it had Flash, and you had to play it right when the creature died. or else you couldn't imprint at all, and it's still a good card, but at least it's more in the vein of actually having to try. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Are there any sac outlets that you wish had a tap to them? I'm trying to remember the one that I can't think of right now.
Ashnod's Altar.
Ashnod's Altar.
I get raped by that every week. Yeah. So.
But what if the Mimic Vat? But it seems like the Mimic Vat's main problem is the fact that it gives you the option to kind of switch out what you want. I mean, granted, it does capture a threat every once in a while when it goes to the graveyard, but it's more you can play it early game and you kill something small and now you're tossing out small guys, but then late game someone's big six mana Titan dies and now you're making Titans for half the price, right? But what would basically seem to be the issue here for the Mimic Vat is the fact that it's if you look at Isochron Scepter, I mean, that's still a pretty good, a pretty strong, powerful card. But once you imprint something on that thing, that's what stays there. That fucker doesn't.
We just said. That's exactly what me and Christian just said.
I'm sorry, I had to step and pause out for a moment because my phone was dying and I kept getting little beeps and beeps and beeps.
I know, we just haven't had one of those moments.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Where you just. I wasn't gonna say anything, but then you're then with the Isochron Scepter, it stays like that. I'm like, that's the same exact.
All right, well, we've all had some fun here, but kids at home, if there's a card, this I've always found this interesting. If there's a card you hate, how would you change it? Why don't you email the show at offcolorcast@gmail.com?
Oh, and real quick, for anyone who is having trouble with Maelstrom Wanderer, Teferi, Mage of Zaphir. Is normally a dick card, but he's one of those villains that becomes a hero all of a sudden against the Maelstrom Wanderer. Flash that shit in when they cast him, and then all they get to do is really see what they would have cascaded into.
Teferi hits the board, and it's the whole table finally goes woohoo! Yeah.
Normally we hate you, but you're looking pretty sexy right now.
Yeah. Teferi and Omen Machine, the ghetto Teferi and Knowledge Pool.
Yeah, I wouldn't play those cards along with him. That'd be he's a super villain all over again. I tricked you.
even I run Knowledge Pool in my Teferi deck, but there's no way to tutor for it.
Yeah.
It's
just funny.
Yeah.
Wait a second, can't you look for it without
I might have Treasure Mage come to think of it. Shit.
Sweet. Combo.
Yeah, but I'm not going to look for the Knowledge Pool with it. I'll look for,
Dude, you could win by turn seven with that. I mean, you're totally in the combo cutthroat section also.
I think so. I'm cutthroat as hell now.
No, what you do is you get the mage out, and then you start using your blue blink effects and start blinking them in and out so you can search out all your big-ass artifacts.
Well, then you can search that eye navigator, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, you could use the Deadeye Navigator with it, and just next thing you know, it's you're blinking stuff out, and you're getting, Wormcoil Engines and Knowledge Pools and shit, and your opponents are just shitting themselves because they can't do anything about it.
How's that make you feel? Listen to our show and be like, What the hell? How does Christian actually have a real deck all of a sudden?
It's not. I lent it to a guy, and he drew 20 cards on a turn somehow, and still didn't find anything worthwhile to do.
Someone reflect.
Christian Renault special.
Actually, Deadeye Navigator and Teferi is a good political combo. That way, if someone needs to cast something, you can just bounce Teferi to let them cast the instant.
No, that won't work. You'd have to.
Oh, it comes right back right away, doesn't it?
Yeah, you'd have to. You'd have to have
use a better blink,
or you'd have to Teferi first, and then they could cast the instant. Like you'd have to blink Teferi, so it'd be like, hey, can you blink your Teferi, and then I can cast an instant. Like that's the only way.
Yeah,
you wouldn't be able to. Yeah. But yeah, sorta. Not really though.
Not at
Mostly
all.
Mostly Deadeye Navigator is just a dick.
Yeah.
Fuck the guy.
All right, let's finish this show. Okay, kids, thanks for listening and surviving episode 34 of Off Color Cast. Let's say goodbye. I'm Chris. Easiest way to hit me up is on Twitter at Christian Renault, or you can email the show offcolorcast@gmail.com, where I have Calvin burn them to CD and then record that onto audio cassette and then mail to me. And then I get your emails that way. That didn't end well. All right, Cassidy, say goodbye.
Yeah, I don't know if I can follow up that awesome little bit. Check out the articles on TCG Player, of course. I'm at Right or Wrong on the Twitter. And you can also check out youcan'thandlethenath.com, my website. I did post another one of the D&D things on there. And if for nothing else, you could see the dumbass drug/D&D pictures that I made. Like this week, it's the Dave Chappelle crackhead holding a Dungeons and Dragons book with a dice bag around his neck. So,
all right, Calvin, just put a bullet into the head of this episode.
All right, everybody, this is Calvin, also known as Captain Red Zone, writing in. If you're looking for me, you can always go to Twitter at Captain Red Zone. You can go to CaptainRedZone@gmail.com if you want to email me. You can always email the show, but always at allcolorcast@gmail.com. You can go to the All Color Cast website and go and check out the show there, or you can actually comment there, and we can actually get the comments from there. And while you're at that website, don't forget to check out Beardy Plays in the sidebar there. I'm not really going to be promoting too much else on the actual site, because at the moment, we really don't have anything except for ourselves. There's also the All Color Cast Facebook page. You can go to that and check out the things there. Every once in a while, something new comes up, new article, not articles, like, you know, pictures of random things that we put up, some random comments, trying to see if I can actually start discussions in there, but no, it's usually just me and Igor. Let's see, Off Color Cast at Google Plus. Yeah, you could do that too if you feel like it.
Nobody does that.
You'd be a fucking moron if you did it, but you could do it. You can. I mean, like, you know, like, who am I to tell you what to do with your weekend? I mean, like, if I had a choice to, like, you know, comment on All Color Cast at Google Plus, I'd rather probably just go look for porn, but.
Hell yeah.
You know, like, you know, each his own. If you want to jerk off to your comment on All Color Cast Google Plus thing, go right ahead.
I guess if you guys want another EDH show to listen to, you can go over to tryhardnation.com.
Oh, yeah.
Which is Patchen's new joint. I like the name of the website. That's my favorite part of it.
Is there anything up there at all, though?
Just episode one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The funny part about this is, like, now there's, like, three EDH podcasts. So, and like, pretty soon there's going to be more EDH podcasts on the MTGcast network, where you can also go check us out there. Then there are actual, like, standard podcasts at this rate.
No, we're, like, slowly that'll ever happen.
No.
I personally think of it, though.
There's way too many Chris Landell show out there, okay?
Wow, Tryhard Nation isn't working for me right now.
Yeah, it's not working for me either.
It was working yesterday. What did Sean do? Maybe he aborted the entire project.
Yeah. I was telling him that he should do a segment about... recently how, like, Gavin Verhey was all like, no, you shouldn't call the deck this because it's an ancient deck and it's like it's not the name of the deck.
Yeah, okay, I remember that. Don't call it Affinity anymore because it's no longer Affinity. There's not a card in this deck that has Affinity. It's robots.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that Patchen should do, like, a riff on that. That's just me, though.
Yeah. And that, like, what was it? Like, I guess that just makes the Coyote the Antichrist then, doesn't it?
Ooh, all right. Man. This is how the show's ending. Jesus. Sorry, kids. Goodbye.
Yeah, it was fine. Whatever.
Like, the show ended a minute ago. If you decide to leave it on this long, that is your fault, sir.
Well, I'm gonna. You know gonna. I do it. I do
that's,
it.
That's how I do.
I do it, do it, do it, because I'm a crackhead.
Like, this is my prison sex. Once I come in, I come in. There ain't no condoms here. You know, if you ain't want to die for it, you ain't really want it.
I like getting high, because I'm a crackhead.
I thought you were going to sing, like, that cowboy song by whatever his name is.
What, there once were two cowboys all alone blazing the
trail? I want to be a cowboy, baby.
Nah, that song's drug crap. Huh? Nobody likes Kid Rock here, man. All right. I'm going to fuck to bed.
Yeah.
Now that I know how you feel about music.
What? No, I thought that's what you were going to sing.
This conversation's over.
Kid Rock's in for life.
Oh,
good night, everybody.
Oh, my God.
Later.
No.